Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What has he done lately? That rhetorical question expresses a fairly common type of evaluation made of another person's work. Athletes, entertainers, politicians, and leaders are known only for their current work. What they accomplished in the past is soon forgotten as irrelevant. Our pop culture places all emphasis on today and tomorrow. Past history just doesn't carry much weight in the minds of many people. Actually, an emphasis on today and tomorrow can bring a blessing to individuals and groups. We all know of people still living in the past, still always pushing the replay button and never the play button. Nevertheless, we must admit that indifference to past history is no virtue either. It can even hinder faith. Christians who are totally focused on today and tomorrow soon lose interest in hearing the narrative of what even Jesus himself did. For after all, that was 2,000 years ago in a faraway land. Pastor, don't tell me about long ago. Give me some information that I can use today for my everyday life. I fear that sometimes even we here in this place allow ourselves to be controlled by this overly pragmatic mindset. But the doubt remains. Is the then and there-ness of Christ's historical actions really so unimportant for Christian existence? The crucified and risen Lord is doing great things today through the means of grace. But first, maybe we should linger more on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in the land of Palestine, on the once and for all character of his crucifixion back then and there. For as we confess in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus suffered under Pontius Pilate, not in 1998, but long ago under a man named Pontius Pilate. Maybe our excessive preoccupation with our own now, with our own everyday lives, is precisely the malady that deserves to be exposed by the law. Maybe we should spend time meditating on what happened back then and there. As we confess in the Nicene Creed, it was for us men and for our salvation. Something big happened back then and there. Jesus actually accomplished something. What happened back then and there? It can be described according to the standards of historians, according to the five senses. It was the death by crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth. It took place in history on a Friday in 30 AD on a hill outside the walls of Jerusalem. Faith affirms this historical description and goes beyond it by confessing that something happened then and there between God and the world. In John 12, Jesus tells us what happened. What happened in, with, and through his death on that cross. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. The hostile world thought that it had sentenced Jesus to death. But what really happened was that the hostile world itself was sentenced to death. The godless world thought it had its victory, but what really happened is the godless world itself lost its right to exist. It was condemned, doomed to pass away. The devil thought he had achieved his greatest triumph, but what really happened is that he himself was dethroned and kicked out. On the cross, Christ began his reign as King and Lord of all. Christ's crucifixion was his exaltation and his glorification. His cross is the magnet that draws all people to himself, including you and me. That's what happened back then and there on that cross. It was the central event of all of history, the cosmic event that determined the course of the history of the world. The symbol of Buddhism is the lotus flower, and that of Islam is a crescent. But Christians extol a cross. What a strange thing to extol. For the cross was the electric chair of ancient Rome. It was the instrument of capital punishment used by the Romans to execute criminals. Nevertheless, for 2,000 years, Christians have been extolling a cross. Why? Because the one crucified on it was Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Because the blood shed on it was the blood of God Himself. Because by His death on that cross, He conquered the hostile world. Because by His death on that cross, He drove out the evil ruler of this world. Because by His death on that cross, He accomplished the salvation of all people, including you and me. Today is Holy Cross Day. There is some confusion about the origin of this liturgical festival. Perhaps it commemorates the victory or the recovery of what was supposedly the true wooden cross from the Persians in 629. Or it commemorates the dedication in 335 of the basilica built by Constantine on the site of the Holy Sepulchre. In either case, Holy Cross Day gives the Church once again the opportunity during these weeks after Pentecost to extol the cross of Christ. I am not going to end this sermon with some advice for everyday living. Doing this or doing that is not the only appropriate way to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes the appropriate response to the gospel is gratitude. Nothing more, just plain gratitude. Before focusing on our everyday concerns today, it is good simply to marvel and to thank God for the marvelous things that happened so long ago on a cross. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.